A great surprise to see the O-Dog here. Orlando Hudson, so many great memories of you with the Blue Jays out there at second base. You're here for the first time in a long time. How's it feel with the new-looking turf and the dirt in the infield?
Not a big fan of that. You know, love Toronto, man. Toronto's not about the dirt, man. It's about that turf. We were known for the turf. I think it should stay that way. Now we got the Tampa Bay Devil Rays look. I think we should have stayed the turf, especially the turf that we had when we played here when it was just full turf. It was unbelievable. But now with that mixture, with that dirt, different spins on the ball. Now it's more tough on the infielders now.
I think you're the only one who doesn't like it. Looks like a real baseball field now, though.
Yeah, it does. But the look, it's okay to look, but the people that are looking at it are not playing on it. You know what I'm saying? Think about the guys who are actually playing on the field. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, definitely looks good. But, you know, the playing surface will be a little different. You know, trust me, I came up in, you know, in this organization and playing Tampa all the time. You know, it was different, you know, playing that turf and dirt. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Did it not beat the heck out of your legs playing on that turf all the time?
Oh, my goodness, man. Yes, yes. And hamstrings still bother me, you know. But it was fun. But it's definitely tough on your body, your ankles, your hamstrings. It is tough. That's why they made this type of turf, you know, and did the same thing in the NFL, you know, try to preserve guys' bodies and all that. But it's still turf, regardless of how you look at it, it's still turf. But this is what Toronto's known for, turf.
It's true. We're, like you said, one of only two ballparks.
Yeah.
At least it's not the carpet like they had back at the X in the early days here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine playing on a basketball court with a little thin strip of green on it?
Strip of green and concrete up under it. That was my first couple of years here. You know, it was tough. You know, diving for balls and all that. The balls bounced over your head and all that. But, you know, you got to make an adjustment to it. But now they got to make a readjustment to it, to the new turf now.
The voice is unmistakable. It's Orlando Hudson, one of our favorites from way back in the early part of this century with the Blue Jays and before. Well, first of all, tell me about the job right now. You're wearing an Arizona Diamondbacks uniform. And I got to say, you're wearing the black top, so it's not that gray-on-gray pajama look. But what's the deal with you now?
Oh, man, right now I'm you know, doing a spring training. I work with the middle infielders all through the minor leagues and all that. But then I'm a special assistant to Dave Stewart, you know, the GM. It's a great, great job. You know, learn a lot from Dave. You know, he was here when I was here in the minor leagues, and he's like a father figure, you know. And I was just speaking earlier, you know, to the reporters, and I was talking about Gibbons. Gibbons is like another father figure, you know what I'm saying? You know, I grew up with two-parent home, but there was a father away from home, you know. Now I'm learning on the job, you know, being with Deshaun Watson and all those guys. We learn a lot, you know, up in the, you know, sitting up in the suite or the press box, however you want to call it. You know, having a chance to look at the game and study the game and see the game from the way others see the game. But Dave Stewart played the game. He's old school. You know what I'm saying? So we see the game the same. You know, the people who crush the numbers don't see the game the way we see it. But that's the part of the game that you have to learn. You know, and it's definitely great. You know, and watching, you know, young talent. I can't wait to see this Travis kid play tonight, and heard a lot of great things about him. But it's fun. It's definitely fun, and still to be around the game. And I was blessed to play 11 and a half years in the big leagues and do some great things in the game and had some bad times in the game, but being in the major leagues is never bad at all, especially 11 and a half years of it. So now, you know, different side of the game, and I'm enjoying it.
Did you ever see yourself doing this post-career? Was this something that you thought you might get into?
It was, but people always thought, you know, talking about doing TV. But when my man Dave Stewart said, you know what, when you retire, you know, and I took a couple years off, enjoyed the family, let them watch them grow up, and did a lot of fishing and hunting with the family, enjoyed them. And, you know, I said, you know what, now, you know, it's time now. You know, I'm ready to get back to the game. And they said, well, you know, oh, this is always home, and here I am.
This is the thing. I mean, for people like me who didn't play and for people who wind up in the broadcast booth, I think guys who played and then go on the radio or on TV kind of always want to get back in there because of the competition. There's no competition when we're broadcasting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's the camaraderie, there's the family, there's whatever, but there's not that going out there and winning. We don't win any ball games. You're in the front office. You can do something.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. But it's tough, though, making decisions on this one and that one and trades and this one and that one and – you know what I mean? And then you look at it as one big family, and then all of a sudden one got to go to bring another piece in, you know. And, you know, I was one of those guys as a player, you know, watching players go and, you know, like, man, you know, you get close to a guy and all of a sudden he gets released. And that's the nature of the business, though, you know. But being up in your business, man, you know, your guys don't release or trade nobody, you know. It's, you know, so it's different.
Well, we fire them.
And that's just it, you know. Yeah. But definitely, man, it's good stuff. It's a lot of fun, though, man. I'm really enjoying myself.
You talked about old school, and we know Dave Stewart's old school. You say you are, too, and the number crunchers. And when I started in this gig in Toronto, which was around the same time that you did, I was a hardcore numbers guy. But that's when the numbers weren't starting to, you know, people didn't understand even on base percentage back then and how important that was. As I've grown, I've seen from both sides. I believe the numbers are a great way to see things that you might not see with your eyes. But you mentioned Devin Travis. And here's an example. You can see him play second base today. Devin Travis is as fearless as anybody I've ever seen playing second base, trying to get a lead runner no matter where that ball is hit to him. And he's got such a great transfer and a quick throw. That's something that would never show up in a number.
Exactly. That's why I'm not a big fan of the numbers. I think, to me personally, I love the way that, you know, I mean, we got away from it. It's a new age game. Every sport has changed, not just baseball, and basketball, and football. Every sport has changed. And I always say this, and guys always say it too, the same way with every sport. I think ex-players should be GMs and all that kind of stuff, you know, because I would feel a lot comfortable. And other players say, and I'm not saying it's a negative way, never disrespect to no other GM, definitely not saying that. You know, if a guy like Dave Stewart, who played the game, understands and say, you know what, man, when I was pitching, I was 0-3 with a 10 ERA. You know how it is. I have some guy like Derek Jeter, the GM, and said, hey, man, I was in an 0-for-60 slump. You really worrying about this 2-for-10 slump, really? You know, to have guys who crunch the numbers say, well, you know, he's not going to hit this and not going to hit that. He can't do this. But it's a part of the game. So now we got to adjust to that part of the game. This is a new age game now. You know, you can't get mad at those guys because they made a wave for that type of game to be brought into the game, to sports these days, not just baseball, to every part of to every sport, major sport. But it's just part of it. But, you know, the old school way has found itself away from the game of every sport.
With Orlando Hudson. But on the other end of that, can't maybe an ex-player be a little too close to things? And maybe if you kind of, like Alex Anthopoulos, when he was here as a general manager, he said he always wants to separate emotion from every decision he makes.
Well, you have to.
Exactly. And that can be tougher when you've been down in the trenches.
It can be tough. It can be tough when you've been down in the trenches. That's why, and you get close to guys. It happens. A part of it, man. You're going to get close to people. You know, it is what it is. But I understand where Anthopoulos is coming from with that. You know, you got to separate feelings because this is a business. You got to separate because if you don't, you won't make no trades. You'll feel bad about everything you do, you know. And you can't feel that way. But it's, I think it's, will the game ever go back to the way it used to be? No, it's too, every sport is too far gone now. You know, but we just got to adjust to the way they do numbers now. You know, the hitters got to do what they got to do. They see it and hit it and catch it and throw it. But they put wars in. They put I couldn't tell you what else they got in there. But, you know, but it's in there, you know, and everything plays an important factor of that guy making a great living for his family. Either he go back to, you know, spend a year in the big leagues and go back to getting a regular job, you know. So
for me, it's just another way of looking at what's going on, and the more information you have, the better you are, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That's where you look at it. More information. I mean, they're breaking down to the toenail from the eye to the eyebrow, you know? So, I mean, the more information you have, the better off it'll be.
With Orlando Hudson, let me ask you about your time here. I mean, you talked about the old carpet. You talked about how, well, I mean, the dirt is new, but, I mean, we remember you just killing it out at second base, doing things we hadn't seen since Roberto Alomar, and just playing the heck out of it. And you could swing the bat a little bit too. What are your best memories of being here?
Being here, man, driving to the yard every day was a blast. It was like home. This place in Arizona felt like home. You know, really loved Toronto. Great people, great city, great restaurants. Then we had great people on the field coaching. Man, it was just unbelievable. I mean, my first organization, and a lot of people don't get to make it to the bigs with their first organization. And I'm really glad Toronto, you know, then was Mike Russell, who's our head scout and director here in Arizona now, was my scout who drafted me then, you know. And, man, it was just great people. It was unbelievable, man, you know, just coming to the clubhouse and just playing a game of baseball in another country, you know, and just the colors of the uniform and the way the city embraced me when I first came here. It was just unbelievable. It's unspeakable, man. And I mean, I was hurt when they first traded me, you know, but it's a business, you know what I'm saying? And the trade ended up working out because I ended up doing some great things here in Arizona. But trust me, man, I always look at Toronto as home. You know, it's still another home for me.
And we always look at you as a Blue Jay, too, for sure. It's interesting that you embraced Canada, because everybody does. And I hope I get this right. You're a kid from South Carolina,
yes.
Right? Oh, good. Memory serves sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be drafted by a Canadian team, to be up here after growing up down there, it's a huge change.
Huge shocker. Huge, man. It was a culture shock to me. You know, when I came here, man, I was like seeing interracial dating and different nationalities dating. And I'm like, whoa. I called my mom. I'm like, mama, you will see white girls dating black guys and black guys dating Chinese and all that. Back home, either you black or white, you stay on your side of the tracks, you stay on our side of the tracks, you know. I mean, it's gotten better, but pretty much it's still the same way, you know. But it's life, you know. Martin Luther King fought for it. And one day we can all, you know, walk hand in hand, black and white. At some points in time, we do it. 9/11, we walked in. Everybody came hand in hand. A month later, back to the same old nonsense. So it's like, seriously, is this what we really about? But you know, this is, it may be, Canada's a great country. Toronto's a great city. You know, it's definitely totally different from South Carolina. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I always look at Toronto as home, and I thank the fans. I thank for the opportunity of drafting me and me making it to the big leagues and playing on the teams I played here. Had a chance to play in the, you know, in the great Rogers Center, and didn't have to play in O Exhibition Stadium, which was good. You heard about that place, but man, this is great, and finally get a chance to come back and see old friends. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good to see you too. As far as teammates who are here, who are the guys that you're still in touch with? Who are the guys that that you were the closest with when you were here?
Yeah, I'm still in touch with Vernon Wells all the time. Shannon Stewart, Carlos Delgado, Sean Green, Frank Calinato, Eric Hinsky, you know, yeah. And I talk to Gibby, talk to George Poulos all the time. So I keep in touch with a lot of the guys. A lot of the guys. We still stay in touch, we still talk, man. It's good stuff. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I know you've been talking, you did a couple of interviews here, and people ask you about what the AL East was like back then when Boston and the Yankees were so tough. But it's from another perspective. The Blue Jays, I mean, you just rhymed off some names and some serious baseball players. This team had a lot, there were a lot of years where you were really good, but just never good enough. How frustrating was that?
You know what, man? I don't want to say no disrespect to J.P. Richardson, but Dave Stewart had us right in the minor leagues. He had us right when he was here. He was here in the minor leagues, the head of the minor leagues, and he had, think about it, myself, Carpenter, Roy Halladay, Felipe Lopez, Cesar Torres, Michael Young, Kevin Escobar. I mean, we had it. And I'm probably missing about 10 more, you know, outstanding names, you know? And, you know, then they got rid of Dave Stewart. I mean, it seemed like we just went downhill, you know? No disrespect to J.P. Richardson. You know, he did what he could do, you know? But, Dave Stewart, we had it right. I think if Dave Stewart would have stayed here, I think we have two World Series already. Added on to the two that Alomar brought here in 1992 and 1993.
It's sad that you brought up Michael Young. You made me a little bit sad because, you know, Young, that deal for Esteban Loaiza, that killed you guys at shortstop for a decade.
Man, you know how great Michael Young was? Unbelievable.
Did you play with him in the minors here?
Yes, I did play with Michael Young. All of us played together, man. All of us played together. We know we had a great minor league system. Number one. Had number one ranked minor league system. Got rid of Dave Stewart. That was it.
How do you, like, if you put yourself in that GM spot, you got to choose. You're going to deal Felipe Lopez or Michael Young or, can't remember who the third guy was. There was another one, and then there was Woody. Oh, Cesar Asturias. So you got one of those four guys, Michael Young, Felipe Lopez, Cesar Asturias. Those were the big prospects. Woody turned out to be a heck of a ball player too. But you got to deal one of them. How do you pick which one you're going to trade? They wound up dealing Young.
Yeah, they did. I don't know how they came up with that, man. That was just, it worked out for Texas, didn't it?
But would you have dealt Felipe instead or Asturias? They were both something, no?
I would have dealt neither three. I'd have to get rid of Chris Woodard and somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. I had to keep those three studs, you know?
But maybe Loaiza doesn't come here.
Yeah, then Loaiza doesn't come, you know? But I love Loaiza. Loaiza's a great teammate. Learned some things from him, too, but, you know, for being around the game for a while. Hadn't spoken to him in a long time. But Loaiza was a great, was a good one here, and old school guy. But, man, that hurt all of us when Michael Young was dealt.
Couple more questions, and thank you for all this time. This is great. People are going to love this. Gibby, you mentioned him as a father figure. I still, like I did in 02, take the calls on the post-game show, and after every two losses, it's get rid of Gibby. Fire Gibby. Gibby's a problem. Tell me what you think of Gibby.
Let me tell you something, man. They always sit there and say, but we can't fire the whole team, so you got to fire somebody. But there's only one more player's manager that I can sit there and say that I played for, and that's Bob Melvin of the A's, and I played from Arizona. Bob Melvin and John Gibbons are those two type of dudes that understand the game, know how to handle a team, and they're players' managers. They get rid of Gibby and bring somebody else in, you'll see a different toll in the players. The players only can do what they can do when they're on the field. That's all Gibby can do is write the lineup out. But, he got to take the fall for it because he's the manager, right? The Blue Jays have a great team. You know, we saw what he done last year, you know, in the postseason. I think they can get back there. There's no doubt about that. You know, they definitely got the hitters in the lineup, you know. Got some guys on the rotation that can throw that thing. Man, Gibby, don't let that kind of stuff bother him. You can yell at Gibby, fire me, fire him, fire this. Gibby don't belong, he don't, all that. He's going to laugh and talk, going to love his team. And he's going to have his team back in every corner, in every foxhole you can think of. That's the type of guy Gibby is. He's a God-fearing man, great family man. He's a great manager and a great players manager.
That's a high praise indeed for Orlando Hudson. Last thing I want to ask you is, we were standing right here 14 years ago, and I had you and Carl Crawford interviewing each other, and it's the best 2 minutes of radio I ever did. You know, way back then, you asked Crawford, I'm sure you don't remember, but you asked him about Baldelli. Rocco Baldelli was the next big prospect, and Crawford said, Baldelli, I'll never forget this, Baldelli is the real deal Holyfield. And it was something else. Carl Crawford just now finally looks like he's coming to the end of the road. Are you guys still close, and what do you think is going to happen?
Me and Crawford talk all the time, man. He, you know, he got to realize Crawford played hard, man. Stole a lot of bases and played hard in Tampa Bay on that turf. And it now you see the toll it's taking on him. And I had a chance to see it when I went to see us play in L.A. and me and him sat down and we talk. And my boy, yeah, he's hurting. But I think he can bounce back and give somebody else another good 2 years. Won't be every day. He's not the same Crawford as an everyday player. You know, he can give you 3 days a week, you know, maybe 4 days a week. But it's not going to be the stealing, you know, 40 bags. You know what I'm saying? Father Time catches up with everybody. He gave it all he had on the field. He didn't take plays and didn't take days off. You know what I'm saying? He played the game hard. He played the game the right way. You don't see guys stealing bases like that anymore. But Billy Hamilton's the only one, you know? Nobody stole bases that hard and that aggressive. Played outfield, diving and everything that hard, that aggressive. You know, you just don't see it no more. Crawford's one of those guys that was just hard-nosed, you know what I'm saying? He came up in that upbringing, was hard-nosed, and played football. Going to Nebraska as an option quarterback, so, you know, you can't be a little punk going there, you know what I'm saying? You can take some massive hits. But yeah, he was that guy. But his body's taking a toll on him now. I feel bad for him. You know, I pray for him and all that, but we talk all the time.
Do you think when you look back, and I don't want to rip on Boston or anything, but, you know, it's a tough place at the best of times, right? Maybe it wasn't the right place for him. I mean, he didn't perform, but they turned on him as hard as I've ever seen anybody turn on anything.
Well, that's Boston. You know what I'm saying? They was almost going to do the same thing to Nomar, going to bring A-Rod in, wasn't it? So, you know, that's Boston. They want to win now. You know what I'm saying? If you don't perform, get out. You know, that's baseball. You know, Cardinals got the best fans in baseball. You know, they clap for everybody. You know what I'm saying? But Boston, New York, they want that win now. No, he didn't perform well. He didn't feel comfortable there. You know. God bless him. He got his money. But yeah, definitely, when he got the deal, was he that type of player to get that type of money? Of course, everybody would agree with that. Did his number short after he signed it? No, they didn't. We all see that. But yeah, Boston, they turned. But what you supposed to do? He wasn't doing well. You know, so you can expect that from anywhere. If he'd been in Philly, it'd be the same way. Philly was hard on McNabb, but Philly would let you know, we could talk trash about our players, but you can't be from the outside and talk trash about our players, you know? And Boston was the same way. Okay, now, we could talk about Crawford, but we're not going to let no Mets fans come in here and talk about my player. You know what I'm saying? But and that's understandable. That's a part of the sports world.
Orlando Hudson, appreciate all this time. So great to catch up with you. Best of luck, and I'm hoping one day we'll do this with you being a GM.
Hey, you never know. We'll see. Hopefully. Anything can happen. Anything's crazy in the game. But right now, I'm taking all the knowledge I can, you know, from Mr. Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart and Deshaun Watson, just learning all that I can, you know, because the game is getting younger and younger. And, you know, by that time, a bunch of young bucks be up here. If I be a GM, I be. If I don't, I'm loving the position. I'm thankful for the position I'm in right now.